You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
Thank you so much, Lilia. We're continuing our Finishing Strong sermon series, and this time we're going to talk about Summit Sacrifice. The way we had this sermon idea came from actually a vision or a prophetic vision of one of our members, one of our leadership team, actually, and what she saw was our church like scaling a mountain like Everest. And the concept was the idea that when you're going to do something great like that, like conquer a mountain, that you're going to have seasons of base camp and seasons of push. You see, when the reason why base camps are put in is to acclimatize yourself to a certain level, and then there is times to push again. And this became a direction for us as a church family here, to say sometimes we're going to have a little bit of a time to settle in and to get used to the atmosphere, but then there are times where God is going to have us push. And we're in a season of doing that right now. We are pushing to the next level right now. And so we thought about, well, what does it take, taking this metaphor of climbing Everest or climbing a mountain, what are the types of things? And we began to think about the types of things that we would need to like conquer a mountain like Everest, or to move forward as a people, both corporately and in our individual lives. And we thought about the first thing we'd need is vision. We'd have to have a vision for what we're going to want to accomplish. Then it's going to take sacrifice. We also have to address the issue of stewardship. That just means what are the gifts and the things that we already have in our possession in order to advance. And then strength. We can't fulfill a vision without having strength. And then finally, the supplies. What are the things that we need around us, and who are the people we need around us to summit? And so that's just an overview, once again, of the series that we're in. But today, we're looking at Summit Sacrifice. I want to talk about three things. First of all, levels of sacrifice. Secondly, a vision for sacrifice. And then finally, looking at the ultimate sacrifice. So first of all, levels of sacrifice. A good place to start when we're talking about a subject is to define it. To sacrifice means the act of giving up something that you want to keep, especially in order to get or do something else or to help someone. Or, in a religious sense, the act of slaughtering an animal or a person or surrendering a possession as an offering to God or a divine or supernatural figure. So when we talk about sacrifice, though, there's all kinds of levels of sacrifice. How many people have ever been to a Toronto Blue Jays game? Shame on you, the rest of you. Come on, that's our team. Maybe you don't like baseball, but there's something in baseball. For those of you who don't know baseball, there's a move called a sacrifice fly. How many people know what a sacrifice fly is? Less than the people that have even gone to the game. A sacrifice fly in baseball is when there's a runner on base and a batter gets up and he hits a ball into the outfield and it's caught, which is an out, but the runner gets to still advance the base. So in a sense, he gets out, but the runner advances. And so that's why they call it a sacrifice fly ball. You see what I'm saying? There's a sacrifice. Now that's a level of sacrifice that a baseball player is actually willing to do. It's actually a good stat. Even though that you got out, that you advanced a runner, or maybe the runner came all the way home, that's actually a good thing. And so there's a level of sacrifice. So that guy there is hitting the ball. You can see his teammate on third base. And if it's caught, then the guy from third base can tag up and still run home. Okay? So you got it. There's your baseball lesson at Every Nation GTA. Give yourselves a round of applause. I'm just kidding. So there's just, here's a little bit more sacrifice. Have you ever heard, my mom was this way. I'm one of seven children. And, you know, when there's one income and a small house, you know, when the bread got made and once in a while the toaster went on too long and it got burnt, guess who ate the burnt toast? It was my mom. And she would put another one in for us, and she would eat the burnt toast. How many people had a mom like that? Or how many people know of a mom like that, that would eat the burnt toast? And so that's another level of sacrifice. It's just one of the many, many ways that a mother might sacrifice for their child, okay? So thank you for all the moms who've done that. Thank you, Mom, for eating all that burnt toast so I could have the good stuff. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Mom. But sometimes sacrifices are deeper than that. The Lord Jesus himself said that there's no greater love that a man can have for his friend than to lay down his life. We're coming into Remembrance Day, and what we are remembering is the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice given by Canadian soldiers in the various wars. The reason why we continue to have a free country is because there were some people that did lose their lives. And so this is a deep level of sacrifice, and that's why, you know, it's an interesting little thing, but the reason why these poppies are worn is just to say we're thankful for those who laid down their lives. My wife's dad served in World War II, and, you know, as a young man, just a teenager, and the fact of the matter is some of his friends didn't come home. And he, you know, lived his life knowing that there were others who literally lost their life. And so it's a meaningful thing to just acknowledge that. And that's why we acknowledge those sacrifices. Let's continue, though, not just understanding the levels of sacrifice, but what about having a vision for sacrifice, a vision for sacrifice. You see, sacrifice is done with a purpose and an outcome at the end. There's a reason that we must see in order to sacrifice. You know, when we talk about, you know, giving in the offering here, there is a place where it's, yes, it's a part of our duty. It's part of an expression of our love for Christ. But then there's also a part of that sacrifice where we're trusting God because he said that if we would be faithful to sow, we can reap. You know, and so there is a part where we say, you know, it's not all sacrifice, but there is a sense of sacrifice for a purpose. For those of you who are students, instead of going straight into the workforce, you're going to university. You are maybe taking out a student loan, which is a form of sacrifice. Why are you doing that? Well, because you believe by doing that, that somehow you'll be able to graduate and have a degree and potentially have a better job. At the end, you know, when we talk about the pastoral team here that has come to really come together for this church, it was wonderfully pioneered by Jay and Vivian Lee, and then Sheila and I came from Nashville, originally from Vancouver. Then Richard and Chantel Kidger came all the way from our church in Cape Town, South Africa. Juwan Wee, who did our call to worship today, just graduated from seminary, and you know, there's costs involved of coming down here to be a part of this and to join this team. But I want to talk first of all about this dear family. Oh, the picture's already up. That's what, this dear family just moved into their own condominium last week. Now, so I celebrate, but I wanted to make a point here though. They came 3 years ago, right about this time of year, on a vision trip to Toronto. I can remember it was this kind of weather, a little bit rainy, a little bit cool, you know, coming from sunny Cape Town, beautiful beaches and all of this. And they came and God spoke to their heart. God put it on their heart that they're to come. Well, they ended up selling their house, selling their car and everything. And then it took them a while to raise the funds to be able to move here and all the things that were necessary. And so actually for 27 months, they've lived in with parents, with friends, moved in with Jay and Vivian Lee into their house, which was a sacrifice for Jay and Vivian. And now after 27 months, now it's like Chantel moves in and sees a regular sized kitchen and says, "It's massive! It's massive!" But here's my point. The reason why they were able to do that is because there's a vision that we all have together. There's a vision that God is starting to do something great in and through us. I talked to a pastor recently who was born and raised in Toronto, and he said, "You know, Bert," he said, "in the last 10 years, I can only know of one church south of Bloor Street that survived in the last 10 years." Man, when I heard that, I thought, hey, why don't we move just to the other side of Bloor Street? No, we have a vision for this church to survive and thrive, and many others as well, in the downtown core. Christian churches have not done well in the downtown core of cities. But the reason why we're able to sacrifice, the reason why we're able to do these things as a church staff, is because we believe that God is going to do something great. It's not sacrifice for no purpose. It's sacrifice because we see something in our mind. We see something in our heart great that God wants to do in and through each one of us. And that was just an example of how our pastoral team thinks of some of the sacrifice. But each of you have a sacrifice to make to see all that God has for you in your life. There will be sacrifices, but sacrifice needs to be attached, what? To vision. It needs to be attached to vision. Even Abraham in our passage, where he was willing to sacrifice his son when God gave him the word to do it, do you realize that Abraham had a vision still for his son? Because it was still the same God who said to Abraham, through Isaac, through your son, you are going to have this amazing family. And look at what it says in Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises about what to was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned, here it is, Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so in a manner of speaking, he did receive back Isaac from the dead. See, even when Abraham was going up the mountain and to sacrifice his son, you could see that it was still attached to vision. Because he told the servants, he said, me and the boy are going to go and sacrifice, and then we're going to return. Abraham had faith that even if God asked him to sacrifice greatly, somehow he was still going to fulfill his promise through Isaac. You know, part of the hardest thing to sacrifice is the thing that God gave you in the first place. You see, there's all kinds of things that when we go and live our lives how we want to live and apart from God, apart from God's ways, we end up making a mess of our lives. And pretty soon, all that sin and things, it catches up with us. And then we go and we give it all up. I mean, that's what I did. I gave up all the junk that was making me miserable in the first place. But you know, a harder sacrifice is when God gives me something that's a blessing. And then God says, put it on the altar. That's a harder thing to sacrifice. It's harder to sacrifice the thing that God gave you in the first place. For Sheila and I, we've had a vision for Canada. We've had a vision to see churches planted on every university campus in the nation. That was a vision that we had when we were in our 20s. That's why I left my job as an optician and moved to Calgary and started U Church at the University of Calgary. That was our vision, and we were going to do it campus after campus, city after city. And we feel like God put that in our hearts and called us to do it. And then a number of years later, after 9 years, we heard this word, go to the United States. We're like, no way. We're not going to go. My wife said, they have enough churches down there. You know, why would we want to go to America, you know, especially not to Nashville, Tennessee, where there's literally more churches than gas stations? I mean, why on not the Bible Belt, the buckle of the Bible Belt? I mean, some of the biggest buildings in downtown are owned by Christian organizations. But the hardest thing for us to obey that word was not giving up any sin. It was giving up the dream of Canada that God had given us. And we had to take that dream, and we had to put it on the altar. Say, I don't know how you're going to do this, God. I don't know how, by taking what we feel is a big detour away from the call of God in our lives, but if you're calling us to do it, then we're going to put it on the altar. You know what was amazing is that from Nashville, after a couple of years, we started traveling in and out of Canada. And we helped Every Nation Vancouver get going. And then a few years later, Montreal. And a few years later, we sent someone from Nashville to Montreal. And even though it wasn't the main part of my job, in my part-time, I was able to see 4 more churches get planted in Canada. And then after 14 years, God said, okay, now it's time to move back to Canada. And so sacrifice has to be attached to vision, and the hardest sacrifice you'll ever make is the promise that God gave you in the first place, not just the junk that's destroying you. And so we see that vision, sacrifice has to be attached to vision. Let's look now, finally, at the aspect of ultimate sacrifice. Ultimate sacrifice. I was thinking, I just did a little bit of research, not a lot, but just a little bit, on the whole idea of sacrifice and religious sacrifice. And then, you know how you study one thing, it goes to the next thing, especially when you're online. It's like click, click, click. And all of a sudden, I started looking at the subject of sacrifice in ancient civilizations. Not just sacrifice, not just animal sacrifice, but human sacrifice. That there was actually, it wasn't an isolated incident. In fact, this is kind of, I'm going to go through this really quickly, but the Carthaginians sacrificed humans. The Israelites, for a season when they were following the other gods, when they were departing from the God of Israel, and they were starting to serve a god called Moloch, an idol called Moloch, and these people were sacrificing babies. The Israelites, for a little bit, were doing that. They kind of detoured from God. But the Etruscans, the Chinese, the Celts, you know, a lot of the, you know, Caucasian people, come from some of the most barbaric people. I mean, you think of sort of Christendom. What is that picture? I'll tell you what it is. It's a man that they would put, you know, that stick in there, and then they would throw people in and animals into it, and then they'd light the whole thing on fire. So, I mean, you talk about, you know, you think of sort of the Western civilization. You got to remember that before Christendom, that was the period of where the Bible and Christians were more at the center of society, and more of the law and more of the worldview was based on a Christian worldview. Before that, you know, our people historically were not doing that good. I mean, from a biblical perspective, you know, apart from the grace of God, any culture goes debase apart from the grace of God. Oh, let's keep going. The Hawaiians, the Mesopotamians, the Aztecs, the Egyptians, and the Incas, and there's more. So what is it with sacrifice in our human society, even in the historic, like what, where did that come from? What does it speak to? What it speaks to is the fact that something is wrong. Something in our world is deeply out of order. Some cosmic treason has been manifest in our world. And somehow there has to be a way for that to be atoned, for that to be made up. There's a sense of some sort of justice, some sort of a sacrifice has to be made. The nation of Israel were taught by God that God said, I want you to sacrifice an animal. What they would actually, God instructed the people of God, the Israel, is to lay their hands on an animal in the sense of transfer your guilt and your sin onto the animal and to kill the animal. And that was a way of just making a picture that something's gone wrong with our heart. There's something, we talk here a lot about the four chapters of the story of God. We talk about creation, that everything was made perfect. Chapter 2, the fall, when sin came into the world. Chapter 3 is redemption, when Christ came to pay the ultimate penalty. And then chapter 4 is restoration, when all things will be made new and right again. But what is it about the brokenness of our world, the brokenness of us as individuals and societies, whether they historical or current? There's something about the human condition that is so drastic. It's so dire that something needs to be sacrificed. And so I think I have a picture of, you know, this picture of Abraham, you know, getting ready to sacrifice Isaac. But it wasn't God's desire to have a human sacrifice. Because here's the fact of the matter. No human sacrifice, no animal sacrifice would ever be enough to make up what really needs to be sacrificed to make atonement and to make things right in the world again. Here's what it says in Hebrews 10, verses 1 through 4. For since the law was but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, they would not have ceased to be offered, since the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sin. But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. And here's the point, verse 4. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin, or for that matter, any human sacrifice. It's impossible. It's impossible for any form of sacrifice. And that's why for me and you, you know, following Christ and Christianity is not about you going every day to church or making a sacrifice. There's no sacrifice that you and I can do. We can try to do all these things. We can fast, and we should do these things. We have a once a month prayer and fasting. And this is what it's hard, is because we don't want to do away with the practices of Christianity. But none of those things are going to be able to pay the debt. None of those things are going to be able to make us whole. None of those things are going to be able to take away the guilt. Whether it's a self-sacrifice, an animal sacrifice, or God forbid, a human sacrifice. But there is one sacrifice that was made in all time. And it was not when Abraham lifted his knife to Isaac, but when God the Father willingly sent the Son, and the knife did come down on Jesus, the Son of God, when he was nailed to the cross, the ultimate sacrifice was made. It wasn't just anything. It wasn't just anyone. It was God's Son. It was God in the flesh coming, because only an eternal sacrifice could pay for an eternal debt of sin. And when we talk about any of our sacrifice and saying, okay, well, to have a successful life, there are seasons of sacrifice. It's always done under the knowledge and under the umbrella of an ultimate sacrifice that has already been made for us. The reason why we serve God with all of our hearts is because a great sacrifice has been made for me and it's been made for you. And whatever we do in sacrifice is to say thank you. We bring a sacrifice of thanksgiving. That's the only sacrifice that you and I can bring. We can't make a sacrifice, but our sacrifice can be a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And so then when we read the Word of God, and God gives us a commandment, we obey that commandment. Why? To say, thank you, God. Thank you. Oh, you want me to do that? Out of thanksgiving? Absolutely, I'll do that, Lord. Out of thanksgiving, you did all of these things. You see a commandment in the Lord. It's not to make you right with God. It's because you are right with God. And now you say, thank you. Oh, another commandment. Oh, I can obey that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Each one of our obedience now is an offering of thanksgiving, knowing that a sacrifice has already been made for each one of us. And when we've got to always be checking ourselves, why am I doing this? Am I doing that because I'm trying to make the sacrifice? I'm trying to make up for a shortcoming or a sin? We can't do it, folks. All we can do is once again receive the grace of God that was freely poured out in Jesus. And then our obedience becomes just forms of thank you. And that's what we're trying to do here. We don't want to be a church that moves people forward through guilt and manipulation. We want to be a church that advances the kingdom of God with a whole bunch of thank you people. A whole bunch of people that are walking in obedience, and as they're doing it, they're saying, thank you, I want to tithe, I'm saying thank you. I want to serve in the church, I want to read my Bible because I want to say thank you, I want to say thank you, I want to say thank you. And each one of these, and can you imagine with just a group of people doing good works, but all out of gratitude, all out of saying thank you, not under the weight of, I got to do this, I hope that I've done enough. I hope that I've done enough. I hope, God, is that enough? Do you know what? It'll never be enough. It'll never be enough. You can crawl. You can do all those things. It'll never be enough. What is true humility? True humility is just saying, I can't do it, but you have. I can't do it, but you have. You know, you think that sometimes when we grovel like this, that somehow that's being humble. It's not being humble. It's being proud, actually. Because it's actually saying that if I do enough, I'll be able to have something in my heart release and I'll feel free. All we can do is humble ourselves under the ultimate sacrifice that God has already given for us. And when we do that in our individual lives, and then we do it as a community, watch out. Watch out, world. Because there's going to be people serving with a smile on their face. There's going to be people moving forward with a smile on their face. And people are going to look at you and they're going to look at me and say, why do you do all these things but you're smiling? I said, because I'm saying thank you to an ultimate sacrifice that was made for me. And then even our service of passing it on to others and giving that good news, we're able to do it out of a grateful and thankful heart. Let's close in prayer. I'll invite the worship team also to come up. We're going to have a closing song. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for your great sacrifice that you've made through Jesus. And I pray now that you would help each one of us live lives of thank you to the sacrifice, that we would bring the sacrifice of praise, that we would bring the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And we just once again thank you right now for the indescribable gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice, the only one who is unblemished, perfect in every way. And really, he was the only one who could make the atonement. Only the only one. And now we just, as a people, once again want to say thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.